שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר
Hello, we are reading in the Kabbalah for the student, page 628, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, item 155. You can find study material on our website, kab.tv. You can send questions, and selected questions will be asked here. Page 628 in Kabbalah for the student, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, item 155. 155, explaining the ascensions of the worlds. The main difference between the Partsufim of Ak and the Partsufim of the world of Atzilut is that the Partsufim of Ak are from Tzimtzum Aleph, first restriction, where each degree contains 10 complete Sfirot. Also, there is only one Kli in the 10 Sfirot, the Kli of Malchut. But the first 9 Sfirot are only considered lights. Whereas the Partsufim of Atzilut, however, are from Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction. As it's written, in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven, when He associated Rachamim, mercy, with Din, judgment. As the quality of judgment, which is Malchut, rose and connected to Bina, which is the quality of mercy. And they were conjoined. Thus a new Siyum ending was placed over the upper light in Bina's place. The Malchut that ends the Guf, the body, rose to Bina, the Guf, which is Tiferet, at the place of the Chazeh. And the coupling Malchut at the Peh of Rosh rose to the Bina of Rosh, called Nikveh Enayim. Thus the level of the Partsufim diminished into Galgalta Ve'enayim, which are Keter, Chochmah, in Kelim, in the vessels, at the level of Vak, without a Rosh, which is Nefesh Ruach, in lights. Hence they are deficient of the Achap of the Kelim, which are Bina and Zon, and the lights Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida.
Questions. You didn't hear anything. Right? Right or wrong? You didn't hear it. Okay. Again. The main difference between the Partsufim of Ak and the Partsufim of the world of Atzilut is that the Partsufim of Ak are from Tzimtzum Aleph, all of the Partsufim. What is Tzimtzum Aleph? 10 Sfirot. Malchut, that has before her a Tzimtzum, and in order to resemble the Creator, she has to also have the Masach, the screen, and Ochozer, reflected light. Then she can receive in order to bestow, which is the form of her bestowal towards the Creator. As He bestows, so she bestows. How can she bestow? She can only receive. However, her intention is that she is receiving only for Him. How can it be for Him? If she performs a restriction and she says, I don't want to receive for myself, and furthermore, she has an additional force that even if she gets pleasure, this pleasure will be felt only to the one who gives. We don't understand that. We don't have such an ability for the time being. But then her action is bestowal. Is this clear or not? Yuda, go ahead and ask. What's with you? You don't understand. Nobody understands. But you understand that you don't understand. So go ahead and ask. You don't want to? There's nothing to ask about. Is it clear, Shai? Yeah? Yes? What is clear?
The parts of the Partsufim of Ak is relatively simpler, works according to a very consistent mechanism.
This is clear, but what does Malchut do in order to be in adhesion with the Creator? Tzimtzum, restriction. What is Tzimtzum? No, go ahead and answer. What is Tzimtzum? What does she restrict?
The intention in order to receive?
The intention to receive. When she restricts an intention to receive, then she does not receive because she doesn't have any other one. To restrict the intention or the desire, is that the same?
No, the desire stays.
The desire stays. You cannot restrict the desire, right? Good. Only the intention. She restricts the intention, it means that she stops receiving. Okay, even though she wants to. Later on, what does she do?
builds a screen.
But the desire stays. Okay, and she builds a masach. What is the masach? Screen?
Not to receive the light unless you have the intention to bestow reflected light.
How can we say it in a nicer way? Yes, Danny?
Maybe a force of rejection?
The force of rejection, that's already the realization. There is a yearning, there somebody's yearning there. So, what does Malchut lack? She can't do anything with the will to receive, right? Only with the intention. So, the intention in order to receive was kind of eliminated. And now she needs the intention to bestow. To the extent that she will have the intention to bestow, she will work with her will to receive. Right? She will open it up only to the extent that upon it there is the intention to bestow. What is the intention to bestow? How can we depict that, Michael? I can't hear anything this way. What's with you? If he even forgot there's a microphone.
The purpose of creation.
What's with the purpose of creation?
That's what's important for Malchut to attain.
So what?
So out of that, it has to be in bestowal towards the Creator. If she has the greatness of the purpose of creation, the greatness of the Creator, it must continue to build the intention after the restriction. It cannot remain in the restriction.
Well, this is really kind of theoretical.
The ability to receive from the Creator the light, with the ability to give Him contentment.
Give it to Him? Same? Okay. So, we'll stay in that. It's not enough, but everybody, look in the book. We're reading on page 630 on the bottom. The Partsufim of Ak are from Tzimtzum Aleph, where each degree contains 10 complete Sfirot. Also, there is only one Kli in the 10 Sfirot, the Kli of Malchut. But the first 9 Sfirot are only considered lights. That is, the first 9 are all kinds of pleasures of adhesion, of bestowal, of whatever Malchut needs to have. And Malchut herself, she receives from the first 9 in order to bestow. This is considered working in Tzimtzum Aleph, the Partsufim of Adam Kadmon. This is one world, 5 Partsufim, Malchut that realizes herself following Tzimtzum Aleph in Ein Sof. That is, we have the world of Ein Sof, where Malchut received everything without any calculation. Then she performs a calculation that she is receiving for herself, and it's bad how she's totally the opposite of the Creator. She makes a restriction over herself, and now, in the world of Adam Kadmon, she received in order to bestow as much as she was capable of. Later on, what happened is Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction. And he continues, the Pertsufim of Atzilut, however, are from Tzimtzum Bet, as it is written in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. What does this verse tell us? That he associated Rachamim, mercy, with Din, judgment. Midat HaDin, the quality of judgment, which is Malchut, the will to receive, rose and connected to Bina, which is Midat HaRachamim, the quality of mercy, the desire to bestow. And they were conjoined. The will to receive and the will to bestow. Thus, a new siyum, ending, was placed over the upper light in Bina's place. Malchut went up to Bina and restricted the expansion of the upper light in Bina. The Malchut that ends the Guf rose to Bina of Guf, which is Tiferet, at the place of the Chazeh, that's where Tiferet stands. Now Malchut went up there. What does it mean that Malchut rose there? No Pertsuf or Sfira cannot go up or down. We are only talking about limitations that the Pertsufim take on. So now there is a limitation such that the light cannot expand below Tiferet. This is considered that Malchut went up there. The limitation of Malchut rose there. Malchut is incapable. She's not interested in receiving the light, but only that light which is from Keter until the middle of Tiferet. And the light that is from the middle of Tiferet down to Malchut, Malchut does not want to receive it. This is considered that she rose to the middle of Tiferet. And the coupling Malchut at the Perf Rosh, instead of doing the coupling at the Perf Rosh with the upper light, she rose to Bina of Rosh called Nikve Enayim. Thus, the level of the Partsufim diminished into Galgalta Enayim. What does it mean, Galgalta Enayim, which are Keter Chochmah in Kelim, at the level of Vak without a Rosh, this is how it is called. All in all, they have vessels of Bistol. Keter Chochmah and Gar of Binah are called Galgalta Enayim, which is Nefesh Ruach in lights only. There are only two Kelim, Keter and Chochmah. Hence, they are deficient of the Achab of Kelim, which are Bina and Zon, and the lights, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida, the lights of Gadlut, of greatness. Ask about any of this. Ask, don't be shy. You're not asking Rachamim, you're just saying things, telling us things. I'm saying that I want questions, not facts.
It's not clear what it means that Malchut is one vessel and the first nine are lights.
The first nine are lights from the four phases of direct light. The first nine are lights, all kinds of lights that, well, you might say are processed in a way that these lights will clothe in the will to receive more and more and more and more. More revealed until it reaches Malchut. Then the will to receive is revealed that it wants to receive for itself and to only enjoy from all of that light that was there. The four phases explain that. The light in Ketil. It is Bistol, pure Bistol. What is Ketil? Ketil is the created being or the creator? Ketil is the created being. We're not talking about the creator at all. However, this created being still feels, well, what does he feel? That the light fills it up. He has no disturbance. He's full of light. Then comes Chochmah. That same created being that was Ketel, he now feels, I'm being filled up by pleasure. I want it a little bit, and to the extent that I want it, I taste in it. What beauty. This is Chochmah. Later on, by being filled up, and it's beautiful and it's good, he starts to think. But it's even better that there is the giver of the pleasure. I want to be like him. He wants to bestow, or does he want to receive? This is a big question. Either he wants to be like the one that gives the pleasure because he sees how great the pleasure is, and the giver of the pleasure must be in an even higher form, because he gives, not that he lacks, and this is why he enjoys. He is whole. I want to be like him. The will to receive becomes greater, because Bina, that second discernment, wants to be like Ketil. But for the time being, the will to receive is developing. Later on, but if I want to be like her, if I want to be like this light, like Ketil, then I want to bestow. He has pleasure from bestowal. Me too. I want to have pleasure from bestowal. And then we develop onwards. It's already vessels of reception that he needs. Bina needs vessels of reception in order to give to them. This is why she begets outside of herself something in order to take care of him. To take care of him. By this she expresses herself that she is a will to bestow, and he, that little guy, Zeranpin, is a will to receive. And then comes Malchut, that if he, the Creator, wishes for me to receive everything from him, then that is the only thing that I think about, only about receiving, and all the way, without any discernments, without any problems, only in order to receive. Why do I receive? I receive because his will to bestow obligates me to receive. It's not reception in order to bestow. But there is an upper root in it, that he obligates me and I receive. And so forth. So, why did we begin to talk about that even? Oh, what is Galgalta and I'm and Ahab? Oh, the nine Sfirot. Well, from here come the nine Sfirot. Well, let's continue. In short, this is on the condition that I have 10 Sfirot. Later on, what does Malchut say? I am ashamed. I suddenly discovered my will to receive, that I am the opposite of Ketel. Well, Ketel wants you to receive or not to receive. Yes, Ketel would like me to receive. But if I receive, I am ashamed. So then what? Is there a problem here, Niv? A severe problem. This is why the first restriction is called the most severe. Why? Keter wants you to receive, and you're saying, no, this it disturbs me if I receive. When I receive, I enjoy it, but even more than that, I suffer. I suffer because I'm the opposite of the Keter. That I have this issue of shame. If it would be possible to erase the shame, all the better. I would enjoy, I would be in adhesion to Ketel, just like a dog is with his owner. Then I would have, fairy tale that I wrote, the magician. So then the dog is in adhesion with his owner. That's nice. He delights the owner. The owner enjoys him. Oh, it's all great. So what's the problem? Shame. Now, shame is exactly the difference between the role of Keter and the role of Malchut. And then comes the restriction, Tzimtzum. So the Tzimtzum comes not all over there in order to receive. It's allowed to receive. The Tzimtzum comes over what? About the fact that it's not to receive, but in order to receive. If it will be in order to bestow, let him receive as much as possible. There is no prohibition to receive. There is a problem. Well, shame is about equivalence of form. A baby that doesn't have shame, he is in equivalence of form with his mother, right or not? Yes? Why? What kind of intention in order to bestow does he have?
No.
Well,
He receives from her, just like she wants to give to him.
Does he understand that this is what he's doing?
No.
Or the embryo?
No, it doesn't.
He doesn't understand it. So, a person who wishes to be Ubal, an embryo, what about him? What should he do?
It needs to do it consciously.
He has to annul himself, right? What does it mean to annul himself? Well, help him.
To annul his intention in order to receive.
To annul the intention of in order to receive. Well, let it be okay, the intention in order to receive. This is how it is expressed. Okay, so now we have here the matter of Galgal Te'enayim and Achap. So, if Malchut, in her work, she begins to receive only from the Sfirot Keter, Chochmah, and Gaur of Binah, called Katnut, the smallness of Malchut, it's not considered that she's receiving. Is it allowed then for her to receive from these Kelim of Keter, Chochmah, and Gaur of Binah? Or not? Why? Malchut, when she rises in her reception or her limitation from Ten Sfirot to Tiferet, or Nikvei Naim, it doesn't matter in what way we talk about it, why is it then considered that she's working in Katnut and she has no shame? Maybe it's correct. He's saying that then she only has the light of Chassadim, and the light of Chassadim can expand anywhere. That's also not so clear, because we're talking about Malchut, that she nevertheless receives. And the light of Chassadim is also pleasure. It's pleasure from adhesion, but it's pleasure from bestowing in order to bestow, that is to ascribe herself to the Upper One. Well, we're not going to get into that. Okay. Next, 156, please.
156. It has been explained in item 124 that by raising man for the second ibur, the Patsufim of Atzilut obtained the illumination of Mochin from Ab Sag of Ak, which lowers the lower hay from Nikvei Naim back to her place at the Peh, as in Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction. Thus they regain the Achap of Kelim and the Neshama Chaya Echida of Lights. Yet this helped only to the Ten Sfirot of the Rosh of the Patsufim, but not to their gufim, bodies, since these mochin did not spread from the peh down to their gufim, bodies. Therefore, even after the mochin of Gadlut, the gufim remained in second restriction, Tzimtzum Bet, as during the Katnut. For this reason, all five Patsufim of Atzilut are considered to have only the level of the ten sfirot that emerge on Aviut of Pchina Aleph, first coarseness, the level of Zeanpin, Vak without a Rosh, called the level of Ma. They clothe the level of Ma of the five Patsufim of Ak, that is, from Tabu of the five Patsufim of Ak downwards.
This means that the level that was born in Atzilut is the level of Aleph Shoresh under Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction. Right? I can't hear you. It's not so clear, but that's how it is. Okay. And later on, they get an addition. And when the addition comes, what does he say? It has been explained in 156, page 641. You can read it if you want. That by raising man for the second Ibur, the Pertsufim of Atzilut obtained the illumination of Mochin from Absag of Ak, well, clearly when the light of Absag comes, which lowers the lower hay from Nikvei Naim back to her place at the Peh, as in Tzimtzum Aleph. Well, let's go ahead and look at, it says 124, so let's go and look at 124 then. 124. Let's see.
Item 124.
It's on page 360. What does he say here? Yet you should know, after Galgalta and Chochma received the Ribur in Yenika. Sorry, this is on page 620. And once Galgalta and Chochma received their level of Ibur in Enika, they rose to Rosh the Attic again, where they received the second Ibur from Mochin the Gadlut. Bechina Gimel descended to her place at the Peh, produced 10 Sfirot on her at the level of Chochma, and their Kelim of Achap rose back to their place at the Rosh. Thus, Parsuf Chochma was completed with 10 Sfirot of lights and Kelim. This Parsuf is called Arich Anpin of Atzilut. He's telling us about the ordinary process that should happen here. Of course, here they're not telling us what are the reasons. Why did it happen, this whole process? Sure, he says, this is how it happens. Why? Because. But why? We're not talking about why. Because we're talking about that's how it is. Okay. So please read again 156.
עמוד 196, קוף נון וב.
Item 156. It has been explained in item 124 that by raising man for the second Ibur, the Parsufim of Atzilut obtained the illumination of Mochin from Ab Sag of Ak, which lowers the lower hay from Nikve Naim back to her place at the Peh, as in the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph. Thus they regain the Chap of vessels and the Neshama Chaya Echida of lights. Yet this helped only to the ten Sfirot of the Rosh of the Potzufim, but not to their Gufim, since these Mochin did not spread from the Peh down to their Gufim. Therefore, even after the Mochin of Gadlut, the Gufim remained in Tzimtzum Bet, second restriction, as during the Katnut. For this reason, all five Parzufim of Atzilut are considered to have only the level of the ten Sfirot that emerge on the Aviyut coarseness of Prina Aleph, the level of Zeranpin Vak without a Rosh, called the level of Ma. And they clothe the level of Ma of the five Parzufim of Ak, that is, from Tabu of the five Parzufim of Ak downwards.
They clothe means that they receive from there. So all the five Parzufim of Atzilut that now attain Katnut, and Katnut means Ma, right? The level of Aleph and Shoresh, or Shoresh and Aleph, they attain from the level of Ma of the Parzufim of Ak. Right? Atik from Galgalta, Arichanpin from Ab, Aben Ima from Sag, Zeranpin from the upper Ma, and Malchut from the upper Bon. This is how they receive. However, each one receives from the Pratzuf of Ak only the level of Ma, meaning the level of Bon and Ma. Sag, Ab, and Galgalta, they don't receive that, but only from Parsa and below, or from Tabu and below. This is what he says here. This is the attainment of the degree after they were born with, after they lost, they were born with Oviyut Shoresh, now they received Oviyut Aleph. What happens next?
157. Thus, Parzuf Atik of Atzilut closes the Parzuf Keter of Hak from its Tabu down and receives its bounty from the level of Ma of Parzuf Keter of Hak, which is there. And Parzuf Arich Anpin of Atzilut closes Parzuf Ab of Ak from Tabor down, and receives its bounty from the level of Ma of Ab of Ak, which is there. And Abavim of Atzilut clothed Parzuf Sag of Ak from Tabor down, and received their bounty from the level of Ma of Sag, which is there. And Zon of Atzilut clothed Parzuf Ma and Bon of Ak from Tabu down, and received their bounty from the level of Ma of Parzuf Ma and Bon of Ak. Thus, each of the five Partsufim of Atzilut receives from its corresponding Partsuf in Ak, only Vak without a Rosh, called the level of Ma. And even though there is Gal in the Rashim of the five Potsufim of Atzilut, only the Mochin that expand from the Pe down into their Gufim, which are merely Vak without a Rosh, are taken into consideration.
We can see it in page 372
in the Hebrew book. How the five Partsufim of Atzilut, Atik, Arechampin, Avavim, Hayishsut, and Zon receive from Ma, each one receives from Ma of the corresponding Partsuf in Ak. So we see in the dotted line, the Partsuf of Atik receives from Ma of Galgalta, Arich Anpin from Ma of Ab, Abba Ve'ima receives from Ma of Sag, Yersut receives from Ma of Partsuf the new Ma, and Zon receives from the Partsuf of Upper Ma and Upper Bon. Okay?
Ala.
Next.
159. For the Mochin to flow from the... Sorry, 158, sorry. This does not mean that each of the five Pratsufim of Atzilut clothes its corresponding discernment in Ak. This is impossible, since the five Pratsufim of Atzilut clove one atop the other, and so do the five Pratsufim of Atzilut. Rather, this means that the level of each Pratsuf of the Pratsufim of Atzilut is aiming towards its corresponding Bchina in the five Pratsufim of Ak, from which it receives its bounty.
No, he explains that you have to turn to this illustration that we just looked at. What does it mean? It doesn't matter which reality you're in. It doesn't matter which place we're in. We're always tied to all the Patsufim that belong to that discernment where we find ourselves. Either it's Keter, Chokhmah, Bina, Zeranpin, Malchut, doesn't matter. Let's say I belong to Zeranpin. A certain degree. So all the Zeranpins in all of reality, from here to all of reality, they're all connected and I belong to them and they belong to me. And that's how it works. Meaning if between me and Zeranpin of Ak there are thousands and thousands of Partsufim and details, it doesn't matter. I receive from there. I receive from there. That's how it is. Measure for measure. Okay? You want to ask? Someone wants to ask something, no? You forgot or what? Ask.
Sure.
Don't be frustrated. Get angry.
No, simply when we began this part, he's talking about the difference between Tzimtzum Aleph and Tzimtzum Bet, the first and second restrictions. And he says that in the second restriction, now Bina and Malchut are associated together. And I wanted to ask, what is special about that? What does it mean that Bina and Malchut are now included together? What is special with that? How is it different than before?
There's a great difference. We spoke about it a lot, and we can explain it even more. Bina is the reaction of the created being to what the creator does with him, with it. That's it. There's a desire after Keter that bestows, after Chokhmah that receives. There is a reaction in Bina which suddenly feels that it receives, but it really wants to be like Keter, that he is the bestower. She has in the degree of Bina a certain awakening that fits the created being. And in truth, why isn't everything done in Bina? Bina awakens to be like Keter. That's it. Okay, it's awakened, but the problem is the Creator did something, did it for her. It's obligated to do this way. There's nothing of itself in it. It's not a created being, but it's a root from which the created being will later come, Malchut. So Bina is the root of Malchut, although it has a root from Keter, and he is the bestower. It has a root from Bina, the receiver, and has a root from itself, and it wants as the receiver to be like the bestower. And already he doesn't know how to do it, how to carry it out. Already in Bina, there begins to be formed a solution. How will the created being do it? How will it realize it? It still doesn't know, but it wants to be similar. What does it mean to be similar? Like a baby that takes something and performs an action like his father. Similarly, Bina performs an action like Keter. Desire to receive. I develop a desire to receive, and I will give to that will to receive, just like Keter is given to me. And the will to receive will develop, and I will fill it. She repeats the exact action like Keter. That's why when Malchut wants to perform certain actions, when it was born, it wants to receive, and so on, and now it discovers the same processes in Bina, that's rooted in Bina. It wants it to bestow, it feels shame. Where does it go up to? It goes up to Bina.
The story here, the main actor is Malchut, right? This is the difference. So,
the difference between Malchut and Bina?
No, the difference between Malchut of Tzimtzum Aleph and now Malchut of Tzimtzum Bet. Now she's included with Bina, right?
Yeah, but it's... let's say it's included of Bina.
So, what's in her now in this new Malchut? Because...
What happened in Malchut? We need to go back to first restriction. In Malchut, the first restriction, what happened was it detached from Bina. It detached from Bina. What does it mean? Bina enjoys and it feels that itself that it enjoys from the adhesion with the Creator. Malchut receives and feels that the pleasure in it conquers her. She enjoys the pleasure, not the fact that she receives from the Creator. Bina that receives from the Creator, it's determined from above like this. It's not her work. But in Malchut, it receives and receives and receives, and it feels that the more it receives, the less it thinks of the host. It enjoys and enjoys, just like a person who follows the Creator in the Garden of Eden. He forgets, he's going, walking in heaven, and I'm in heaven. Oh, Creator, okay, he let me enter, but I'm in heaven. That's it. The same with Malchut. It receives and the pleasure conquers her, and the natural adhesion that she has from Keter disappears. It was never hers. Then, instead of this dvikut, it begins to feel a difference from Keter. That's why Rabash says that shame is a creation in of itself, because without shame, everything would be over, and then it enjoys while in detachment from the shosh, from the root, and then shame begins to develop in it. The feeling of shame begins to develop in it. And then the feeling of shame, when it develops, we don't study it, but perhaps, I don't know, I didn't find it, maybe it's written or not somewhere, but the feeling of shame, when it develops, also develops in four stages, and then it reaches such a state where the shame erases the pleasure. And it's bitter just like that host that is visiting his childhood friend, the rich guy who says, I can't receive anything from you because I feel the bitterness of receiving from you. Instead of pleasure, I feel terrible. Tells him, what can I do? Tell me what. I'm willing to do everything, but I can't erase the shame. That's above nature. And that's why the restriction took place. After the restriction also, they don't tell us exactly about everything, but it's clear that after the restriction there are decisions, there are such special actions that it finds a solution. There has to be a screen and reflected light, their intention to bestow, and then accordingly it receives the force of reception. I can't write about it from myself, but perhaps it's written somewhere.
Okay, so now they're integrated together after Tzimtzum Bet, the second restriction. So now what is Malchut capable of that she couldn't do before?
Malchut, when it rises to Bina, when it's in second restriction, what happened to her in second restriction? Nothing happened to her. It stops receiving.
From
Bina Dalet that awakened in it, that point of Malchut, the point of restriction, and Malchut herself awakened now. So what can she do? She's going to use only what was given to her. And she was given to use the vessels of Keter Chochmah and Gaah of Bina. Wherever they're awakened, the will to receive in Bina, when it decided that it continues to be similar to the Keter on her own, not to be like Keter in that. This is called Katnut. That the small one is small. What do you want to ask, Ali?
Zvika from the union is
in Düsseldorf,
and he's saying nobody understands what's going on here.
That's it. He's staying there. He's probably organizing the riots there, right? Union, you know, it's always.
He's asking, what is that new siyum, that new end that happened to the upper light? What does that mean, that a new siyum was made over the upper light?
The new ending on the upper light, where is the upper light felt? We don't know what is the upper light. We know that something is in the sefirot. In the sefirot, there's an impression in them, from something in them. That thing in them is called the light. So the impression of the Sfirot from what's in them right now is Katnut, as we study. Okay, we are...
Dennis, with one sentence, he's asking, in one sentence, can we describe the main difference between Tzimtzum Aleph and Tzimtzum Bet, the first and second restrictions?
First restriction is you cannot receive in order to receive. Second restriction is a continuation of the first restriction. Of course, you cannot receive in order to receive, but you can receive in order to bestow in the vessels of Ahab, because you can't. You can't receive in them in order to bestow. If there will be a screen, you can do it, but there is no screen, and that's why he calls it second restriction, an additional restriction. Where are we? 159. For the mochin to flow from the pe down to the gufim of the five potsufim of Atzilut that are in Katnut, It has been explained that raising man from the lower one is required. This is because then the completion of the 10 sefirot of the second kind are given to them, which suffices for the gufim as well. What is the completion of the 10 sefirot of the second kind? The completion of the first kind is by the achap of the upper. Yeah? And the completion of the sefirot of the second kind is the achap in its place. Similarly. And there are three discernments in this man that the lower one raises. Because when they raise man from the avyut of Bchina Bet, ten sefirot at the level of Bina emerge, called the level of Sag. These are mochin of light of Neshama. That's clear to us. The second discernment is like that. When they raise man from Aviyut of Bchina Gimel, then 10 Sefirot at the level of Chochmah emerge, called the level of Ab. These are the Mochin of the light of Chaya. And when they raise man from Aviyut of Bchina Dalet, 10 Sefirot at the level of Keter emerge, called the level of Galgalta. These are Mochin of the light of Yechida. It is clear. Niv, look at me. We had Katnut. What did we have in Katnut? What kind of avyut? What kind of coarseness? Shorosh and Aleph. Okay. What kind of lights? Nefesh Ruach. Good. Now we raise man. We ask the forces to work on the level of Aviyut after Shorosh and Aleph, Bet. We receive the lights, we activate the second level, Bet, of Aviyut. What light can now expand in the Patsuf? Light of Neshama. There was Nefesh Ruach, now Neshama. Then they awaken the Pratsuf to be in Gadlut on the degree Gimel. The light, which light expands? Chaya. Then Dalet of Aviyut, the light expands on the level of Vechida. So what's the problem? This way, Achap returns to its role. Okay? Questions? No, none.
Tov, Efo, Notikra, Kufsamach.
Read it.
160. Know that the lower ones that are suitable for raising man are only considered Naran, Nefesh Ruach Neshama of Tzadikim, righteous, which are already included in Bia and can raise man to Zon of Atzilut, considered their upper one. At that time, the Zon raise man to their upper one, which are Abba Ve'ima, and Abba Ve'ima higher still, until they reach the Pertzufim of Ak. Then the upper light descends from En Sof to the Pertzufim of Ak on the man that rose there. And the level of Ten Sefirot emerges according to the measure of Oviyut of the man that they raised. If it is from Bchina Bet, it is at the level of Neshama. If it is from Bchina Gimel, it is on the level of Chaya, etc. And from there, the Mochin descend degree by degree through the Pertzufim of Ak until they arrive at the Pertzufim of Atzilut. And they also travel degree by degree through all the Pertzufim of Atzilut until they arrive at the Pertzufim Zon of Atzilut, which impart these Mochin upon the Naran of Tzadikim that raised this man from Bia. And this is the rule. Any initiation of Mochin comes only from En Sof. And all, no degree can raise man or receive bounty except from its adjacent upper one.
Clear, yeah? The innovation of the light is from the light of En Sof. The light of En Sof, regardless of where the man is coming from, it all goes up to the light of En Sof, and from there the mud comes down from the light of En Sof down to the place where the deficiency appeared. Is that principle clear?
Well, I don't know what
to do with you.
תסתכלו לפי הפרצופים.
Look according to the פרצופים. in the drawing, not your own Patsufim faces. You see, drawing number three, all the Patsufim are in a chain. Let's say the last of the last, the world of Asiya, the very end on the bottom left corner of the drawing. Yeah? From there, let's say, drawing number three. Let's say there's a tzaddik there, a righteous one, Niv. And he raises man from there, yeah? What does he want? He wants to raise all the worlds with all the created beings through his deficiency to raise it as much as possible to and so forth. So he is raising it. So the man from here, the world of Asiya, rises to Yetzirah, Bria, through Parsa to Atzilut, and goes to Galgalta and to Ein Sof. That's how it works. And from there, from Ein Sof, it then comes back down. Mud comes down and comes back to the one who raised him, the one who caused him, through all the worlds. And each and every world performs coupling and striking on this man in order to raise it, and in return, in receiving the light, it receives the light down below. And that's why truly each deficiency, even the smallest one, awakens and shakes all the worlds, the whole system. Is that clear? For better and for worse. That's why, until we will be able to perform only good actions, we cannot enter the system. It's built in such a way that only he who can perform good actions enters it. Otherwise, God forbid, if we would be able to do both ways. Only Adam Rishon, because he wasn't Adam, wasn't man, a man had no free choice, meaning that's why he sinned and he caused what he did. The rest is no. More questions? We have a few more minutes. If not, we're going back to the continuation. What happened, Nip?
Why does he call it Naran of the Righteous?
Naran of Tzadikim is called because you, as a righteous, a raising man, and by that you cause an addition of light of Chokhmah.
But here, in the system, there is already this component called Naran of Tzadikim, Naran of the Righteous.
What does it mean?
In terms of the cascading and...
No. That's what you're asking. Okay. On the system, there is everything, as we learn, that everything is established on the level of Katnut. And it is ready for our work, that we would awaken it until the complete Gadlut. We need to awaken the system to ask, to ask, to ask, and then we cause Achap, the Achap of Aliyah all the time. By wanting to adhere to Achap of the upper one, we raise our deficiencies. If we will raise all of our deficiencies in the similar way, from below up, it's called Naran of Tzadikim, Naran of the Righteous. We will come to a state where all of our Achap will rise to the Galgalta Ve'enayim. And then what will be, we will miss only the Achap of descent, which only the Mashiach, Messiah, can cause. Rav Pealim Mekapziel.
So here, when he writes about the Naran of the Righteous, what does he mean that they raise this?
Like you? If you want to perform an act of bestowal, it means you are justifying the Creator. You're called righteous. Incomplete righteous, complete righteous. There's a difference between if you work in Galgalta Venaim or only, you're called an incomplete righteous, where your crimes become transgressions, and then if you want to correct them into receive in order to bestow, then these transgressions become merits, and then you're called a complete righteous. But this is not a hop of descent just yet, because you're not doing that, but the Messiah. Rav Pali Mekabtziel.
Why did you say that the only one who does good actions can enter the system? We say that there is no righteous in the land who did good but did not sin before, etc.
Very nice. We always say, very nice question. Who can give a good answer? It's written, there is no righteous in the land that does good and without sinning. So how can it be that we're saying here that they only raise one in sanctity and never lower one in sanctity? Yes?
No.
Seems to me that this is the first part of the lesson of the advantage of light from within darkness.
Give us an answer according to how we study in Pticha, not the first part.
Working with Oviyut, with the coarseness. Working with Oviyut.
What do you mean coarseness? It's not an answer. Say exactly.
The sin is analogous to the Oviyut, our coarseness.
I don't understand this answer. Give me an answer and the style that we're asking.
That same righteous who tries to justify it is upon something that he's trying to justify. It's upon the coarseness that he gets, upon the state of his Oviyut. This is the sin.
That's clear, but why isn't there... What was the question?
The analogy or
we only raise man and we constantly correct. We never descend back down. We correct it, it's done. Correct it, it's done. There's no going back. There are no corruptions, only corrections. So where do we get the descent? It's not a descent. It's a disclosing, a revelation of the broken vessels more and more that appear from this bag of broken vessels. And we feel it as a descent. It's not a descent. Of course it's a descent compared to the previous state, but it's a revelation of the broken vessels, and we have to correct them and again, to correct them again and again. And the more we correct, we pass everything back up to sanctity, and we reveal those broken vessels from that bag of broken vessels that Adam HaRishon did. So new vessels appear until we complete all the corrections. But from this bag, we can raise to correction only the first nine. We're unable to do to raise Malchut. Malchut will be corrected, the stony heart. Malchut of Malchut will be corrected only through this special light called Rav Pealim Mekabtziel. That will be the light of the end of correction. So what appears to us as a descent, as a fall, it's not a descent, it's not a fall, as new vessels appear, and we need to correct those as well. Clear? This you don't understand? If we understand, we go to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, and before that, let's sing together. דממה דקה יהפוך לשיר והלילה החשוך יהיה כיום בהיר העיניים נפקחות מעל ההיגיון ואתה הוא הראשון וגם האחרון שנאה שמתגלה נחת אור לטוב נוריד רגע
תפילה עבור החברים מעורר את השחר מעורר את השחר והאור יאיר בין השברים איך הרע שמתגלה יהפוך לטוב בכל מקום בחמלה שעד